I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Business Owners Tell All. This is What It Takes, where we go behind the scenes with bold founders who've built, stumbled, learned, and led. And today we're heading into Tel Aviv, Israel to meet Eli. He is the co-founder of Maya Digital, one of the most trusted LinkedIn agencies for startups, VCs, and global brands. So if you think LinkedIn is just a job board or a resume site, Eli will change your mind. With a background in venture capital and a sharp eye for positioning, he and his co-founder Shay have built frameworks like Return on LinkedIn, showing how founders can use psychology, storytelling, and structure to turn their profiles into hiring machines. So today's episode is especially focused on HR. We're diving into how founders can attract the right talent, build trust before the first interview, and structure their LinkedIn presence to scale smarter, all without sounding like a corporate bot. So if you're trying to build a team in today's noisy market, this one is for you. So let's jump in. Welcome to the show, Eli.
Thank you, Jamie. Wow, what an intro. I kind of want to take you everywhere and have you introduce us. Thanks for that.
Well, let's start with this then. When you meet a founder's LinkedIn profile, like you've seen mine, what signals tell you that they're ready to hire great people? And what red flags do you see the most?
All right, great question. So really the foundations of LinkedIn start from your personal profile. So everyone understands that there's importance to build a presence, which is commenting and posting. We'll talk about it more throughout the episode. But really before that, just like we have websites and a landing page and your first impression when someone comes to check you out, that's what our LinkedIn profile does for individuals and businesses today. When people are looking to whether hire someone or work with someone as a service provider, they're doing their due diligence. They're searching on Google, and one of the first things that they'll find is your LinkedIn profile, or they're going directly to LinkedIn and searching for your profile itself. Once they land there, unfortunately, too many people don't have their profiles optimized, and then people drop off, very similar to what would happen on a website. So I think there's a lot of missed opportunities on the optimization of personal profiles, and I'm happy to go in on, you know, the main structures that I would put emphasis on in a profile. But really, it is the first impression to build a relationship today in the professional world.
Yes, yes. And you often say that LinkedIn isn't about fluff, it's about framing. So how does that framing impact how personal hires or potential hires that, you know, are going to your personal page feel about working with your company?
Great. So I think actually what's really interesting about where LinkedIn is today at the end of 2025 going into 2026 is that it's no longer just a hiring platform. LinkedIn, I think many people are surprised. When do you think LinkedIn came out, Jamie?
I don't know. I'm probably going to date myself because I remember having a profile. I'm trying to think back to like the jobs that I had, and it's well over 20 years, maybe. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2002. And really when it came out, it was for job seekers, hiring managers, and really solely focused on hiring. And today it's, you know, across HR, sales, marketing. And when people are looking at the individuals to hire, I think being able to have your information on your profile, being able to understand who that individual is in front of you, again, whether it's from a hiring perspective or even from a relationship, a partnership, a client engagement perspective, really to be able to understand who that person is from his experience or her background and through their content and their activity. I think that's one of the greater things that we have, especially a difference between a classic CV and a LinkedIn profile. So you can really understand what the person thinks, how they think, how they express themselves, who they've worked with, and really get to build that relationship even before you speak to them through their personal profile.
Yeah, that's really good. And from an HR perspective, what do you think founders are getting wrong when they attract talent on LinkedIn? Like what things do they miss?
So I think typically what founders are missing from a hiring perspective on LinkedIn is sleeping on their employees. So if we look at an organization, we have the founders' profiles, we have the company page, and we have the employees as well. So one of the things, our philosophy at Maya is LinkedIn isn't, you know, in silos and just one part of it, especially with businesses, whether it's a small, medium business or all the way up to enterprise, you know, in larger corporations, they should be full scale across LinkedIn, from the company page to their executives and especially their employees. If hiring is one of the key priorities that you have into the coming year, you need to have your organization fully on LinkedIn as a centralized growth engine. And it's the only platform that we have today, Jamie, especially in the B2B world, where you can across all of, you know, get your employees on and your C-levels and your executives who typically don't like to be on social media. They're not going to be on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, TikTok, but LinkedIn, they will. And the employees, they will as well. And your company page, as long as you have that active and getting content out. So I think really through your employees, you're able to show the culture, what it's like working on the team, what features are coming out, what it was like to work on that feature and behind the scenes. So candidates can really get a perspective beyond the job description of what it's like to work on the team in the company itself. And we see really organizations that invest and put an emphasis on their employees really see that they attract better talent and also retain their talent. So it's really twofold, not just for the hiring, but also keeping the great talent that you've put a lot of time and resources into and making sure that they stay with you and grow with you.
Oh, Eli, you've got my wheels turning already. Like my brain is like, you're talking and I can just see it spinning and spinning. And what's coming out to me in this is branding, employer branding, and using your employees to help with that as well, because they're, like you said, they're a really big part in that. So how can founders, especially in early stage startups, build a team culture that shows up clearly online, like what you're talking about?
Yeah. So founders can build a healthy and effective team culture around LinkedIn and their companies, starting from them, meaning usually organizations don't always have the executive buy-in, and then that could also be difficulties in really getting the rest of the company to rally behind it, understanding, is it important? How does it align with what we're doing? And why should I invest my time as an employee on this platform? But when it starts from the founders, and not only the founders saying, guys, we need you to be on LinkedIn to support, to engage, and to build your brands as well, we also look at us and they walk the talk, right? They're using their personal profiles as a channel to communicate internally with their teams, right? Giving updates depending on the stages. If you have hundreds of employees, then through your personal profile as a founder, you're able to, you know, communicate with the rest of your organization externally to hire and attract new candidates. Again, the CEO and the founders' profiles are, of course, extremely important. So I think really understanding it, starting from the mindset and the culture, and then also, of course, you know, leading by example and doing it themselves.
Oh, that's so good. And a lot of our companies that we work with are scaling and they're trying to scale fast as well. So what should their company page actually be doing on LinkedIn?
Companies that are looking to scale. So we've worked with also my background, you know, you mentioned before, Maya, I worked in venture capital. So specifically here in Israel, the startup nation, investing in pre-seed to A companies. And really, I've seen it from different life cycles, from companies that are, you know, the infancy and starting out to growth and companies that are looking to actively hire, sell, et cetera. It's being consistent, being present and bringing value to your ICP, to your audience, your ideal client profile. Again, it can be different personas. It could be the value that you're bringing to future hires. It could be value that you're bringing to current clients or to future clients, to partners, to investors, right? So depending on the stage, I think there's also always a common, we have the conversation, a lot of people are asking what's more important, the company page or the personal profile. It's not or, it's both of them. I can understand the constraints around the stage of a company, maybe an early stage startup with, you know, the founders and one or two other employees don't have the resources and the capability to do all of it. So they should start with at least the founders being the leaders and the voice, because they're the most recognized before they have a company brand. And as they start to scale or they have other needs across the organization, they should be also posting on their company page and posting different type of content that's coming out from the personal profile. And when they hire a few other employees, they should be getting them in the mix, whether they're sales, marketing, or even developers. We've worked with R&D centers, focus companies, where, you know, the employees that we were working with were developers. Content and developers are not, you know, a given and something that they do in their day to day. Why was it important to the organization and to the employees themselves? Because they wanted other developers to feel familiar with the company, to feel familiar and connected to the employees through their eyes and not just through, you know, the hiring manager or someone else saying, hey, we're hiring at our company. So it's understood that we can't do everything. And by the way, we call it ROL, the return on LinkedIn, right? The time, the money, the resources that you put into LinkedIn long-term. This isn't a short-term game. It takes a long time, and we need to stack on top of it the different pieces that LinkedIn allows us to work with.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the ROL a little bit. Can you walk us through that model and how it applies to hiring? Like, how does a strong LinkedIn presence reduce time and cost of recruiting? You kind of touched on that and implied it through, you know, just being able to have the employees involved and displaying company culture. But walk us through that model.
So I'll continue on the conversation, on the example that I was giving about the developers that we were working with, you know, inside of the R&D center. So we just wrapped up a year of the brand ambassador program with them, meaning we had 10 to 20 employees that we were actively training, optimizing their profiles, helping them create the content, best content for LinkedIn specifically, aligned with the company. And there were two employees that in a year between the both of them were able to receive 628 CVs for open positions. Because they were active on LinkedIn, they were talking about positions. They were talking about what it's like to work in the company and why people should work for the company. And that's just for two employees. Take that on a company that's 10, 50, 200 employees, and you can understand the capabilities to amplify the exposure. So instead of having just one channel or one HR or one job board, right? All jobs or any of the other classic ones that we know, we're really able to, we understand where are the job seekers looking for jobs beyond the jobs boards? They're on LinkedIn. And where can they get more beyond just becoming another CV in the system? LinkedIn. They're able to perhaps engage or go through employees, understand who the managers are. So really, we've seen not only an increase in CVs that companies are able to receive, but also higher quality and better candidates that they're able to receive because now they're more familiar. Think about it, in a competitive market, maybe where there are other larger, well-funded competitors, if you are now taking your organization and you are putting LinkedIn as a core focus to frequently appear in front of those that interest you, you have now an advantage on others that maybe are better well known. So to get candidates to understand, hey, this is us, this is what we do, and this is where we're going, LinkedIn is really one of those core channels that you're able to do it.
Yeah. And how have you and Shay used your own LinkedIn strategy to build the Maya team? Any like personal lessons from hiring or attracting the right people?
Honestly, everything that we've generated at Maya, not only from a hiring standpoint, but also from a business standpoint, has been from our LinkedIn profiles, has been from our company page. But very predominantly, if you go look at my LinkedIn profile or my co-founder, Shay Teberg, you'll be able to see content that's coming up consistently from us. We've had hires that have reached out. And, you know, I think one of the things that I enjoy the most, we're actually hiring for a new position now. So we're in the last few weeks, we've been interviewing candidates. And even for the previous positions, when we speak to the candidates and we ask them, why Maya? Why us? They always consistently say, because we see you guys on LinkedIn. We see your team. We understand the culture and what you guys are, and it looks like an amazing place to work. And I can really feel like I know you, and I know Shay, and I know other team members. And for me as a business owner, as a CEO, that's incredible. And I can really also see from a due diligence standpoint, it's like, wow, this also person took the time to look at the content, to understand who we are and what we're about. So I also think from those looking to maybe weed out other candidates who's more serious or less serious, I definitely am expecting people to read my content. You're meeting with me, go into my profile. I put that there so that you can feel closer to me, so that you have something more to bring up in the conversation. So, you know, from both sides, if you're listening as a candidate and you're looking to make your way into a company, you should be looking at people's profiles and using that information in the process. And if you're a hiring manager looking to bring on better candidates, also in the process itself, your LinkedIn can be a biometer to understand if they've done their research before.
Well, that's so good. You've already like convicted me. So what's one small thing a founder could change on their profile today that would make a big difference in how potential hires see them, you know, other, and you even mentioned B2B, like other potential clients or people that you work with?
I'd say one quick, very important change is making sure that your headline, which is, you know, that first title that you have under your name, which is the first snapshot that people see when they're looking, searching for your name or see your profile pop up as a post or as a comment, the first 45 characters specifically, you know, typically where people write co-founder and CEO at Maya. If you look at my profile, for example, my title isn't the first thing that I write. I have more of the value proposition or what we can bring you as a potential client of ours at Maya by partnering with us. So it says your partner, you know, in growth, your partner to, you know, in trust to be able to work on LinkedIn. So you're able to think about what you want people to see first in your headline. And also understand that the headline is the most heavily targeted section by the algorithm. So the keywords that you choose to put there will help LinkedIn index you and show you to relevant audiences. So it'll help the humans, actual humans, understand who you are and who you serve, but it'll also help the algorithms show, great, this is a relevant, it's relevant for the content that you're putting out. It's relevant to recommend to this person. Perhaps they should reach out. So it all comes back to the optimization of the profile. You have the headline, you have the about section, you have the experience. So really focus on your profile. That's one of the main changes that we're seeing today as well with the algorithm, is that there is even more significance on the optimization and the keywords that you have on your profile to the content that's being put out. LinkedIn wants to make sure that you are an authority or relevant to the things that you are talking about, and then it's able to show your profile and that content to relevant people on the platform.
Oh, that's so good. I don't know about you guys, but I have so many takeaways right now. And Eli and I were talking about my personal profile before we started, and I have had my own journey on social media and things that I'm spending my time on, but I do see the value in it. And like I was saying, I am kind of re-engaging in social media and have been for a little while now on the personal side, just because I have already been convinced that there is really something to your own personal brand when it comes to doing business also online. So I just hadn't gotten as far as LinkedIn yet, but it definitely, I'm like walking away going, oh, I know you're saying all the things that I feel like I've been avoiding for so long. And I don't really know why we do that, but I do think it's important.
It's not just you, Jamie. We deal with this, you know, for the 6 years that we've been around, it's, you know, also psychological that holding us back, you know, exposing. It's, you know, a lot of the time, especially with executives, it's the time
it takes
to put in.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems daunting and the investment. So I do want to, you know, relieve some of the daunting pressure around it and give you some practical steps that you yourself, Jamie, you know, can understand going forward of having a system. Is it takes about 30 minutes to an hour a day to do several really simple actions that include adding people that are relevant to your line of work, future employees or partners, making sure that you're connected with them. It's commenting. 5 to 10 comments a day can really, really warm up your profile, bring relevant opportunities even before posting. Kind of look at it as joining a conversation as opposed to leading a conversation. And then posting, you can batch post or you can post as you go. Should be at least once a week, maybe twice a week, again, depending on the time, the resource, and the capabilities. But doing that for 90 days 90 to 120 days, but give it at least 90 days. If you comment weekly, daily, and you post weekly, and you're adding people every day, you will see exponential changes in performance, you know, from your profile and also in your business. There will be opportunities that arise from that, whether it's podcast hires or even, you know, business opportunities as well that impact your revenue.
All right. I will take you up on that. We will start a plan to follow, comment, and post consistently for the next 90 days. I think that's something that we're doing on other social channels. I'm starting to do it personally as well. So I definitely, just like I said, haven't added LinkedIn to the mix. And the thing is, like, I don't really know why. I just haven't. And I have no real explanation, because we all know, we all have LinkedIn profile. I've had one for, you know, 20 plus years. So it's not something that I don't know that there's value there. It's just, for whatever reason, we haven't done it. So I'm so grateful for this conversation. I hope everybody listening as well is kind of getting something that they can, a key takeaway like that. But before we go, Eli, we ask every guest the same final question. And in your words or experience and things that you've gone through, what does it take to be a business owner?
Great question. I think what it takes to be a business owner is, first and foremost, belief in yourself. And I think to do it long-term and effectively, passion. Really believe and enjoy what you're doing. There are going to be highs and lows and challenges, just like we have in life and really in any position that we end up doing. But if you believe in what you do, you enjoy who you do it with, who you do it for. I think it comes across in the work that you do, and definitely on a mental, psychological point, which is very important for founders and business owners. It makes the ride a lot more enjoyable and sustainable.
Well, that's so good. And hiring is hard enough as it is, but I think Eli just showed us how a few thoughtful changes to your online presence can completely shift how talent sees you. I mean, that's really my big takeaway. It's not just about filling roles. It's about attracting the people who believe in what you're building, which is who you were looking for anyway. So you can learn more about Eli and the work that he's doing at Maya Digital by heading to, where do they go?
You can either find us on LinkedIn by searching for Maya Digital or for my profile itself, and you can also find us on our website, www.team-maia.com.
And if you're a founder trying to scale the right way, keep your eye on the frameworks that you're sharing and that we talked about here. So thanks again for being here with us. This is Business Owners Tell All. We are talking about what it takes, and I think that this is a really good, easy key takeaway that you can just go and implement into your daily routine right away. So I'm Jamie Seeker. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
Thank you, Jamie.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.